Good morning, Penguin Radio. This is DJ Homeschool, and you are listening to Real Life right here on radio.dominican.edu. It is 8 a.m. I cannot believe it is actually November already. October flew by. This year has absolutely flown by. We are approaching the end of the semester, and the weather outside is changing, and you know, people's moods are changing. For some reason, fall cold, like pre-holiday weather, just makes everybody happy, including myself. I absolutely love it. It just makes me a happier person. I love the cold weather. I love having to wear sweaters and scarves, not have to worry about being hot all the time. It's really great. I've broken out all of my warm fall and winter clothes, my UGG boots and my fuzzy vests, and I'm loving it. It makes me so happy. I'm sure a lot of you share my feelings about that. We were talking about it in class yesterday, some of my classmates and I, and we were joking around because a couple of the girls were from Hawaii. And she said, you know, it cracks me up because I'll go home and I'll see girls wearing scarves and Uggs, but yet it's Hawaii. So why are they wearing that? And it was kind of funny. It kind of made us think, you know, why are they wearing Uggs? And maybe it's just a fashion thing or, you know, wanting to fit in, because there's really no need for that in Hawaii. But I'm glad I get to wear them here. I was talking with one of my friends who's an international student in New Zealand. And for him, he's excited to experience the holidays in the United States because New Zealand is down under, and so the seasons are flipped. So Christmas, they spend at the beach and barbecuing because it's always hot, really hot. And so this is going to be his first kind of chilly, cold holiday, which I think is really cool. I think that's such a crazy, I had never thought about that. Like, what if Christmas was hot? Like, what if Christmas was in the summer? I'd never thought about that. So it was a really cool kind of perspective to kind of get there. But it's been a really exciting week since I was last on air with you guys. I did a lot of stuff with the twins. I was really with them for the majority of the week. We had a lot of fun times. We went out to dinner a couple times. And last Wednesday, right after my broadcast, I went and got them from school. And we went to a little mini trick-or-treat night that was just for little kids in a certain area of Marin where we live. And it was really fun because they shut down the street and they let the kids trick-or-treat. And it was just a safe environment where they didn't have to worry about older kids or it being super late at night. And I really liked that. I appreciated that the town was really willing to work with the children. So we got to do our fun little pre-Halloween trick-or-treat. And then for their birthday, instead of buying them just another junky present that they would probably forget about in an hour, I decided to take them on a little zoo trip. And so Saturday, I packed them up and I brought one of their friends. They came along with us. Her name's Lily, and she's the cutest, sweetest little girl ever, and she just loves the boys. And so it was really great. We all packed up, and we went to San Francisco Zoo, and we just had a really great time. They revamped their new jungle gym playground, and I thought, okay, we're going to the zoo, but why would we want to go to a playground? But oh my goodness, it was so great. They had one that was like a jungle safari, and then they had one that was similar to where polar bears and penguins live, and it was even colder on that side of the park. I don't know how they did it near that playground, but it was kind of a little bit more chilly over there, and it had little ice caps caps that they could slide off of and little, you know, igloos that they could go sit inside and play. And it was just a really fun experience. And so it was really nice to be able to do that with the twins, build those memories and have great play dates. I joke around with my friend because I feel like such a mom because I'm always coordinating play dates now. But you know what? It's really fun and life could be worse. So we had a really great weekend and we had a little skunk incident. And for anyone listening who knows me, they know about this story. But hang on for that, all you listeners out there. It's pretty funny, pretty entertaining. And we're going to have more on that in just a little bit. Just have a few announcements. And it's almost finals. And so everybody is really in full swing working mode, including myself. And, you know, everyone seems to be getting a little bit sick. And so I just want to tell everyone to be careful and be conscious of that. Watch out for your body. Make sure you're not getting run down. And just be well. Take care of yourself and do what you need to do to be happy and healthy. And so today's show is going to revolve, and this was kind of by accident. You know, I was thinking about, what do I want to talk about? And it all is kind of revolving around food. And I know I've mentioned this before, and it seems kind of relevant that the holidays, I mean, we're approaching the holidays, and so everything is going to be around food. People are spending less time outside. It's getting a little colder. They're inside. They're doing baking. You know, we have cake and brownies and things everywhere. And so I just want everyone to just take a second and just be conscious of what's going in their body. So we're going to talk a lot about food today, but I have been still avoiding sugar and gluten and dairy, and it's been really helping me, this little diet. Well, it's not a diet. I talked with my dad about this, and it's a lifestyle change. Those are not necessary things to be putting in your body, and so you can just decide not to do it. It doesn't have to be this big, drawn-out thing. It just doesn't need to happen. So I've been avoiding sugar, dairy, gluten, but the twins had their birthday party this Sunday. And I decided, okay, you know, I've been doing really well. I like to reward myself a cheat meal every once in a while, or else I feel deprived. And that's very natural for a lot of people. So I decided, okay, I'm going to have this meal. I'm going to have a really big salad, and then I'm going to have some pizza. If I can stick to my goals, set that as a goal for myself, you know, do really, really well for a month, and then have some pizza, I think that's real life. I think that's valid. I think I'm able to do that. Well, I decided to eat this pizza and it was horrible. I mean, it was delicious. We went to this really yummy pizza place in San Rafael and they have a little playground area, like a back playroom for the kids. And they just have really great pizza. They home make all their crust. It's filled with good meats. I had chicken pizza and it had some veggies on it. It had some zucchini, which sounds super weird, chicken and zucchini pizza. But it has, instead of red sauce, it has a lemon garlic sauce. Oh my goodness. It is so good. So I use this as my cheat meal thinking, you know, everything's going to be fine. I felt horrible for the rest of the day. I was so exhausted. My stomach hurt and I couldn't function for the rest of the day. There, I didn't want to do anything. I wanted to go home and take a nap. And it made me realize that even in the short time that I've eliminated these foods from my body got used to it. And I needed to become aware of that. And that cheat meal really helped me do it. You know, I found it really interesting how tired I was for the rest of the day. And then I woke up and I have relatively clear skin. I would say I have pretty good skin. And I woke up and I had a little breakout. And I thought that there's no way that those two things are not connected. You know, what have I been eating that makes my skin so clear? And then I have this one meal and I feel sick, I feel tired, and I have this breakout. You know, it really kind of made me aware of the good that I'm doing and how easy it is to harm your body just by what you're taking in consciously. You know, you might not be able to help all the pollution that you're taking in or breathing in chemicals, but there are certain things that you can avoid and that you can prevent. And so that was really interesting to me and to kind of see those changes. So I started researching some foods that were really, really good for your skin. And I wanted to make sure that I ate them and incorporated them into my diet. And what I found was really interesting is all of these vitamin-packed foods, they're ones that I generally have been really eating a lot of lately. And it made sense. Of course, I've been feeling great. I've been having more energy. I haven't been needing to sleep as much. I'm a big nap person. And of course, even just saying that makes me want to yawn. I had a little yawn there. I don't know if you heard that, but that's kind of funny. Just thinking about it makes me tired. But I'm a big nap person, and you know, I like to do it voluntarily, but sometimes it was necessary. So I started researching some of these foods, and so I want to give you a little bit of insight to kind of what I've been eating. And hopefully, if you're having some skin problems or some health problems, this can really kind of just brighten up your day along with your skin. And of course, the first one, you know, mom's always told you, you know, make sure you eat your broccoli, but it's true. As an adult, that's something that would be really great to incorporate into your diet. And some of you may have had broccolini. It's like baby broccoli. And I am in love with this stuff. It is so good. It's got a little bit of a looser kind of top. It's not that really firm, you know, the top of the broccoli head or whatever you would call it. It's a little bit more loose, a little bit leafier, and it has a long stalk, but it's edible. It's not as hard as a broccoli stem. So it's a little bit softer. It has more similar texture to asparagus. And it is packed with so many vitamins. It has A, B, C, E, and K vitamins. And that's going to aid to the collagen production in your skin. And it's going to promote clearer skin. And it's something that goes with so many different meats. It goes with everything. It's, you know, if you're big on pairing things up and things going together, I'm really not. If I want some coleslaw and, you know, I make a coleslaw with little fat-free dressing that's really good. And, you know, turkey meat, like ground turkey, and then some tomato soup, I'm going to have that, even though those things don't go together. But if you're really big on pairing things, broccoli is a really good food that you can pair with everything. Here's a little hidden gem that sometimes people avoid because it's really high in fat, but avocado. They're really good for you. They taste amazing in any way, shape, or form. You know, whether you're just eating it plain, you can eat it. You can mix it into your smoothies or, you know, eat it, of course, guacamole, so good. And they're packed full of vitamin E and C, and those reduce inflammation and promote naturally hydrated skin. And so if you like toast in the morning, whether that be gluten-free or paleo bread or just regular toast, spread a little bit of avocado on there and really kind of get your energy started in the morning. It's got some nice, good fats for you, and it's really good for your health, and it's a really, really yummy breakfast. In this process of putting avocado on your toast, you can also squeeze a little bit of lemon juice on there because lemon is a really powerful way to help your body detox and eliminate waste. I drank a lot of lemon water the day after I ate the pizza to kind of rehydrate my body. It really cleanses up your liver and it builds new enzymes in your blood to help eliminate your toxins. And of course, the result of this is that you get clear skin. So if you start your day with a squeeze of lemon in warm water, that's really going to absorb and just start that toxin flush right from the get-go. I like that. I like starting my day with something that's really, really healthy. You know, some people like to meditate in the morning. I can't meditate in the morning or I just fall back asleep. But a nice squeeze of lemon in a glass of water is the way to go. For you vegetable lovers out there, and especially this is really great if you have kids. I know I have carrot sticks a lot because they're really easy to go. They're really easy to pack up, and the twins like them too, and they're easy to carry. And so if you make these your daily snacks, you know, they're just little vitamin machines, and they have beta carotene, which helps promote, it helps go against premature aging. And what's cool about these is that they come in a lot of different forms. You can eat carrots raw if you're a raw veggie person like myself. You can eat them cooked. And this is probably my favorite way to have carrots, juiced. I love carrot juice. little fun story fact here. When I was a kid, I would drink a lot of carrot juice. And, you know, if my blood sugars were low, I would have carrot juice. And, you know, even before I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, my mom would give me carrot juice. And I would drink it so much that my skin started to get a tint of orange to it. And so I think that that's really, really funny. But it also makes you think, like, you're absorbing things into your body and, like, look what it does to your skin. I think it's so cool. I think it's a really interesting thing and a little phenomenon to kind of, you know, point out. So carrots are really good for you. I really encourage you to try carrot juice. It is so delicious. I'm a big fan of juicing. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. And of course, here's the big one that may be a little bit obvious, but kale. And it's that strange, you know, green-looking leafy vegetable. It's a little bit bumpy. And it has so much iron and vitamin C. And so they really encourage people who don't eat red meat to eat their fair share of kale because it really has a lot of iron in it that can replace that red meat. Taylor, if you're listening, Taylor's my little sister who refuses to eat any form of red meat. Eat your kale. It's healthy for you. She's actually sick right now, too, so I want to encourage her to, you know, be proactive, and she's doing a really great job of it. She's been juicing a lot lately and really trying to pack in those vitamins to help, you know, rejuvenate her body. So if you add this kale, obviously you can make a salad, but if you're not really a salad person, if you're more of a sweets person, you can add kale to your juice or a smoothie, and if you combine it with carrots and spinach and apples, it's got a lot of really great nutrients, and it has free radicals that aid off UV lights. And so it's like helping you prevent sun damage and aging. So it's really, really cool. Just one cup of kale gives you 134% of vitamin C and 133% of your daily recommended dose of vitamin A. And that is I found that on the Clinics in Dermatology website. And so really valid, you know, really smart research there. And it's super easy. There's so many different kale recipes. This fruit is one of my favorites coming up. I never used to like blueberries, but I started loving blueberries for some reason when I was in high school and college. And we always joke with my mom because they're supposed to be really good for your memory. Well, we always joke, you know, well, if you can't remember to eat the blueberries, then what good does that do you? But it's just a little inside joke that our family has because my mom has a terrible memory. But they are really good for your hair and skin. They are packed with antioxidants. You know, I've even seen beauty products that contain blueberries in them. I know there's that line, I think it's available at Walgreens, that yes line. It's yes to carrots, yes to cucumbers. And I know that they have yes to blueberries because it's really going to, they'll help even out your skin tone and just add those antioxidants for a good little vitamin punch for you. And if you want, you can add those to your morning smoothie, or if you're an oatmeal person or a Greek yogurt person, blueberries are really versatile. You know, they go with everything. And we talked about this one just slightly, but spinach. It goes with his best friend kale, and they are one of the most powerful greens that you can find. They're an antioxidant powerhouse, and spinach really delays the aging process, and it protects cells from damage, the kind of damage that gives you wrinkles. So if you don't want to get wrinkles, engage your inner Popeye and eat that spinach. This one came to me as a little bit of a surprise because as a diabetic, they always encouraged me not to eat red grapes or green grapes or any kind of grapes for that matter. But I found this really interesting because they say that grapes are a great way to replace your mid-morning latte. They have a lot of antioxidants and they also treat inflammation. And they're good for your kidneys. And so they're one of the fruits that have a little bit of a higher sugar content. And my dietitian always calls them sugar bombs. And so I thought that this one was quite interesting, but I think maybe if I pair them with the right vegetables and in the right portion size, grapes could be a really powerful asset to my diet. So that's my goal, is to try and incorporate grapes into my life here in the next few days. So I'm curious to see what you guys think, if you guys are interested in incorporating grapes. You know, those aren't something that you really think of as like a good, healthy fruit. But this one is really cool for the upcoming holiday months because, of course, there's pumpkin carvings and pumpkin junk everywhere, but pumpkin seeds. And those little babies are a superfood, and they're packed with zinc. And zinc helps promote skin renewal and protect your cell membranes. And you can do a lot with these pumpkin seeds. You know, you can get them in a bag from, you know, your Trader Joe's or whatever market you like to go to. But you can also eat them from a pumpkin that you carved with your kids that you babysit, or your own kids, or whatever it may be. This is a really interesting trick that I've yet to try, but again, this is something that is now on my to-do list. You can put pumpkin seeds into a smoothie. I never thought of that. Pumpkin seed smoothie. But it makes sense. You put chia seeds, you put flax seeds, which those have all been ground. So if you want to grind up some pumpkin seeds and throw them into your smoothie, it's going to give it a nice little flavor there. And you can also sprinkle it on your oatmeal if you eat oatmeal in the morning, which I love oatmeal. So I'm really excited to try this new healthy way to incorporate pumpkin, because who doesn't want a fall pumpkin treat every now and again? So this food is one of my favorite foods, and I want to share a quick little recipe for you. But salmon, and it's packed full of fatty acids like omega-3 and omega-6, and it reduces inflammation and it fights blemishes. It gives you that clear skin complexion. And what's really nice, you can pair this with your broccolini and a squeeze of lemon, and you have a perfectly balanced meal that is really good for your body, really good for your tummy, and just your overall health. So I really liked these foods, and I realized that they are foods that I have been really good about incorporating them into my body. But here's a couple of them that I haven't really been incorporating that I know that they had good properties, but I had a few preconceived notions about these foods. One of them being olive oil. You know, everyone's pushing the coconut oil right now, and I know that that's really good for you. It has a low glycemic index, and I really enjoy coconut oil, and it does not make your food taste like coconut. But researchers have been studying olive oil, and they found that with a higher consumption of olive oil, more than 2 teaspoons per day. So that's really not that much if you think about it. If you do a little bit of cooking with 2 teaspoons of olive oil, that's not a lot. But that was associated with 31% fewer signs of aging compared to people who ate less than 1 teaspoon. And so it beat out a lot of other oils tested, including sunflower and peanut oil. Why, you may ask? Well, 75% of the fat in olive oil is monounsaturated fatty acid. And that plays a role in that kind of youthful look. And the antioxidants in the olive oil clench your skin and those free radicals, again, protect against the sun. And so I think that it's a really interesting research study done, because I've been avoiding olive oil because it's such a high fat content. I've been using just a little bit of spray if I need to do something, but I think that I would like to incorporate 2 teaspoons of olive oil. It's not very much, not very high calorie. I think that that's something that I'm going to start incorporating into my daily diet just to promote my skin and promote my health. And this was my favorite one, was dark chocolate. And the sweet treat, it's really rich in cocoa flavanols. And that's a plant compound with antioxidant properties, and it hydrates your skin and improves circulation. And that is what kind of made that little click in my head. Diabetics are known for not having very good circulation. And so women who consumed high flavanol cocoa for 12 weeks, they experienced less skin roughness and scaliness compared to a control group. And they had the equivalent of about 3.5 ounces of dark chocolate a day. And so that's a little bit much. You don't want to be having that much chocolate every day. And so the beauty diet author, Dr. Lisa Dreyer, she is a nutritionist, and she recommends that sticking to a 1 ounce portion, which is around 150 calories, that reaps good skin benefits without the weight gain. So I think I'm going to sit with my salmon and broccolini that was seasoned with a little bit of olive oil and have some dark chocolate for dessert tonight. So I want to take a quick break. We just talked beauty, and coming up, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about what that Halloween candy is doing to you. And is it really giving you a sugar high, or is that maybe all in your head? So stay right here on Penguin Radio, and we will be right back with Real Life.
My face above the water, my feet can't touch the ground, and it feels like I can see the sands on the horizon every time you are not around. I'm slowly drifting away, wave after wave, I'm slowly drifting, and it feels like I'm drowning, pulling against the stream. Wave after wave, I'm slowly drifting. My face above the water, my feet can't touch the ground, and it feels like I can see the sands on the horizon every time you are not around. I'm slowly drifting away, wave after wave, I'm slowly drifting, and it feels like I'm drowning, pulling against the stream, pulling against the.
Welcome back, Penguin Radio. This is DJ Homeschool here on radio.dominican.edu. And we just talked beauty, and we're going to jump right into wellness. But we're having a really kind of a foodie themed show today. We talked a little bit about food to eat for your skin. And I want to dig a little bit deeper into that and talk about sugar. Because maybe it's just me, but I feel bombarded with sugar right now. You know, all of the coffee shops, which for those of you who know me, I visit once or twice a day, maybe more towards the twice, but definitely about once a day. And they're really boosting their holiday drinks already. And they were doing it a couple weeks ago. And now, of course, everyone has the holiday cups out. And, you know, everything is sugar this and salted caramel that and pumpkin spice things. And, you know, it's really fun. It's great. And, you know, people are getting cold. So they're going in to get these hot drinks. And, you know, but is the sugar really taking a toll on our bodies? Or is it the added junk that all the junk that's put into these foods that have the sugar in them as well? And so I was looking on my favorite blog, Refinery29, and they have, you know, beauty, they have fashion, they have wellness, they have lifestyle tips, they have organization. So it's a really great website. And they posted an article about, you know, is sugar really giving you the sugar high that you think they are? Or is the sugar rush kind of a myth? And, you know, I know at the twins' house, I took them trick-or-treating, and they literally have 4 bags of candy between the two of them. They each got 2 huge bags. And it's absolutely ridiculous how much candy just surround everywhere has candy. Even at my work, at my internship, there are people there that just have little boxes of candy just sitting on their desk at all times. So, you know, is this sugar high that you get from consuming this candy a myth? And there's a lot of research. However, a lot of it is saying that it's not conclusive evidence. It's not conclusive enough to say that there is increased hyperactivity after ingesting a ton of sugar. You know, in other words, you know, your sugar high is kind of a lie. And I find this really interesting because these 4 bags of candy, they have consumed quite a few pieces themselves. And when we went to the zoo with Lily, they had a lot of sugar too. And Lily's mom even made a note to tell me that later that day, she was not behaving properly. And then she crashed hard that night, which is very unlike her. And so we have both attributed it to sugar. And science is saying, you know, there's a lot of these myths that are coming out. And much of the sugar hyperactivity hype, if you will, it's being traced back all the way to 1973. And that's 40 years ago. And that's an allergist, Benjamin Feingold, and he's an MD, and he published the Feingold diet, which has been very popular. My grandmother has done every diet known to man, and she definitely did this one. And his plan didn't specifically call for completely eliminating sugar, but it did this, which I found really interesting. It recommended against parents feeding kids food that contained artificial flavors and coloring, suggesting that these might be the key factors that are leading to hyperactivity. And so, of course, this extended really to sugary treats. You know, you're not going to find as many savory foods that have artificial flavors and colorings. You know, maybe packaged foods, but foods that you prepare yourself or from the produce section, you know, and dairy, those aren't going to be the ones that have a lot of those unnatural additives. So basically it comes down to these sugary treats. Well, they've been doing analysis on in these studies to show how kids who are given sugar, they don't act reliably. They don't act any more energetic than those they gave kids placebo candies. And that's really sad. Just thinking about it, here, kid, have this piece of candy, and it actually being a placebo. And, you know, I tried to do a little bit of research on it, and these studies showed that they were given, you know, treats that included sucrose, aspartame, and saccharin. And those are all really, I would like to say bad. They are not good for you. They are added artificial sweeteners. They're the same types of things that are in, you know, Diet Coke, diet drinks, diet food. And they put them within chocolates and other, you know, classic sweets, and even into natural sources such as food, like fruits and vegetables. And so the kids, some of them already reported to the study that they were sensitive to sugar. But they were reporting that the rush could not be replicated. And I find that really interesting. You know, you chew down a bunch of candy and, you know, you start feeling a little hype and a little bit of a vibe there. But now science is saying that it might not be the sugar, in fact. And so you're chowing down on these candies. Yet what that does is it releases endorphins and dopamine, which are what make you happy. And it makes me laugh because have any of you guys seen the movie Legally Blonde? And they're on a murder trial. And the woman is up for murder for killing her husband. And she jokes around and she was like, there's no way I could have done it. I just had gotten back from the gym. And, you know, working out gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. And happy people just don't shoot their husbands. And I think that is so funny. And anytime I see endorphins, my mind goes back to that movie from my childhood. And I just love it. But endorphins make you happy. And so that is oftentimes what you're feeling after eating that chocolate bar. You're not really getting that surge of energy from the sugar. More research is showing a link between ingesting sugar and the release of adrenaline. But adrenaline also increases glucose levels, which is not good. And so science has admittedly said that they are not exactly sure which direction this is heading. You know, is it sugar? Is it endorphins and adrenaline? And what's interesting to me is that I'm able to kind of see what adrenaline does to your body, no matter what that is, whether I'm, you know, at a theme park on a roller coaster, or I'm really excited for something, you know, maybe I'm going home to my hometown of Arizona and I get to see my family. I get that big rush. And so I was thinking about it, and I'm able to see how my blood sugars are affected by that. And my glucose levels, whether it's, you know, bad adrenaline, good adrenaline, I really see the blood sugar effects. So I thought that was really interesting. And so as you're diving deeper, you know, into the bag of Halloween candy, those four bags of Halloween candy, you can point out that there's also a little bit of evidence that suggests that they're the artificial colors, you know, especially those in those sugary candies, you know, that are red, like Twizzlers, Skittles, M&Ms, those colors are making children hyperactive, and adults too, but mostly it's really prominent in children. And so, yes, the candy might still be responsible for your, quote, sugar high, but it might not actually be the sugar. And the FDA is on the case about this debate, but it has not yet been settled. And NPR did a report with the FDA, and they have been examining the dyes and the relationship between dyes and hyperactivity in children. Artificial food dyes are made from petroleum, and they are approved for use by the FDA to enhance the color of processed food. I don't think that's a very good thing for the FDA to approve, but, you know, they do it anyways. So, you know, they've been around, these colors have been around in everything from puddings to potato chips, and of course the more obvious drinks and sodas and, you know, candy. So recent studies are showing a link between these food colorings and hyperactivity, and there people are calling on the FDA to ban them or at least require a warning label. And a lot of European countries are doing that, which I found really great. And people are encouraged to try, you know, they were encouraged to try elimination diets to address their kids' behaviors. And a lot of people have said that they worked. So this diet has been the elimination has been around since the 70s because pediatrician, this doctor and nutritionist Benjamin Feingold claimed that there was a link between these behaviors and food dyes. And he said to eliminate these food dyes and other food additives like preservatives such as BHT and BHA. And these food dyes are a really easy target for elimination because, again, they aren't essential to food. And I want to tie that back to our beauty segment where we talked about those natural foods that are good for your stomach, good for, you know, they taste yummy, but they're also good for your body. None of those foods have added dyes. So what does that tell you? For me, that was just really big. You know, these dyes are not essential. Michael Jacobson, he's the director for the Center of Science in Public Interest, and he said that food dyes are added simply for their color to make food fun, but they serve no purpose for your health whatsoever. And that's really true. You know, the Center for Science in the Public Interest wants the FDA to ban 8 artificial food dyes. And the ones that they're super concerned with are red number 40, yellow number 5, and yellow number 6. And between those 3 dyes, they make up 90% of the food dyes on the market. And I thought that was just incredible. So they've done, you know, a lot of studies in the past 50 years about how much junk food we're consuming. And Jacobson says that there's substantial evidence to show that these food dyes trigger hyperactivity in children. And so the FDA released an analysis of 35 years of scientific study, and it found no conclusive proof that the hyperactivity is caused in most kids. They cannot say most, but they can say some. And so they suggest that children may be sensitive to food dyes. And Andrew Adisman, he's the chief of developmental behavior in pediatrics at the Stephen and Alexandra Cohen Children's Medical Center of New York. And he is really pushing the FDA to do more research on this because it's something that he feels passionately about, because there is a lot of room for doubt in this still. However, there's been a lot of studies, and some of these studies are difficult or imperfect, and they don't always tease out specific chemical isolations, but there's a lot of research that shows that these dyes and these processed foods are being linked to hyperactivity. And I guarantee you, pretty much all of the candy that you're having from your Halloween bag contains these dyes. So is the sugar rush really a myth? We're not sure. But it doesn't mean that the sugar crash doesn't exist. When you're chowing down on this candy, it's going to cause an insulin spike in your body. And I found this information on a website, but it's funny because it's exactly what happens to me in my real life. So if you are chowing down on this, the insulin secretion and blood glucose levels, when they drop back down after you're done eating this candy, you may get a headache, feel a little bit fatigued, and get irritable. And that's exactly what I feel when my blood sugars fluctuate. And I get to feel that because I regulate my insulin manually, yet your body does it automatically. So these changes are still fluctuating in your body after you're eating sugar. You know, you're getting the endorphins, you're getting all the sugar, and you're really, really happy. But then you come down off of it, and your insulin levels are crashing, and your blood glucose levels are coming back down, and you're able to feel that change. So I just really thought this was so great because I notice how this works in my own body, and it's really made me, these studies of sugar and food dyes and insulin levels, they've really made me so much more conscious of my body and what I'm putting into it and how I feel. You know, if I don't want to have some food, if I don't want to have pizza or a piece of cake or a cookie at dinner, I don't have to, because I know what it's doing to my body, and I may be able to opt for a nice smoothie with some strawberries and blueberries and kale and coconut water and a sprinkling of pumpkin seeds that's going to be just as sweet and just as delicious and not as harmful to my body. So I will break there now from the bombarding of the food and nutrition information, but I hope that you take these into consideration. And even if you adopt just a couple new food principles over the holidays, I guarantee you, you're going to be happier. Your body is going to thank you. And hey, you may discover a new recipe that you didn't know you liked. So we're going to take a quick break here with some weird news with Harley D. So stay right here on radio.dominican.edu, and we will be right back.
Hey guys, Harley D here with your 3-minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started. Could you spend a night in a hotel that left you tied up, covered in snakes, and drenched in blood? It's a question that an amazing 24,000 people are eager to answer as they wait to try to spend one night in McCarney Manor in San Diego, California. The manor has the honor of being named the world's scariest hotel. Visitors travel between four terrifying locations and often find themselves trapped in cages, tied to chairs, and sprayed with blood. Visits to the manor are filmed so spectators can watch on global webcams as visitors try to attempt and survive up to 8 hours in the hotel. It is a challenge that so far no one has ever completed. Pennsylvania State Police say they're looking for a man pretending he's Pittsburgh's District Attorney, Stephen Zappala, to steal beer, pizza, and other goods. They say his story at one business involved telling embarrassed employees they hadn't given him all the products he purchased. Police say the fake Zappala drives a car that looks like an unmarked police vehicle and got away with $40 worth of pizza and a case of beer. Felony charges are pending against 18-year-old Benjamin Hawkins after police discovered 500 pairs of stolen panties along with firearms in his bedroom. He was arrested last Tuesday, at which time cops found five pairs of underwear shoved down his pants. In Minnesota this past weekend, 24-year-old Riley Louise Swearingen pled guilty to disruptive intoxication. According to the criminal complaint, Mankato Department of Public Safety Police Sergeant Adam Gray was talking with a driver of a party bus in the city's entertainment district when he felt two fingertips that were obvious to him as wet with saliva being pushed into his right and left ear canals, which caused pressure and discomfort in his ear. The officer turned and saw a man later identified as the suspect. He is facing charges including assaulting a police officer with bodily fluids. A New York State man was sentenced to 2 years in jail after accidentally texting his probation officer a message seeking marijuana. Prosecutors said Alvin Cross Jr. of Albany sent his probation officer a text message reading, "You got some weed?" Authorities responded by raiding Cross's home and seizing a bag of cocaine. Cross pleaded guilty to cocaine possession Monday and was sentenced to 1 year in prison. An extra year was added to the sentence for violating his probation. I'm Harley D. signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
Well, thank you, Harley D. This is DJ Homeschool back at you again, and that was definitely some weird news. Giving a police officer a wet willy, that is probably not the smartest decision that man has ever made. And stolen panties, you know, to me, that just kind of gives me, that just makes me think that maybe that's just something that, you know, they're in need of. And I hope that maybe he put them to good use. I don't know. That's just a really weird concept. Stolen panties, you know. Obviously, he's struggling with something in his own mind. So we are coming up, and I want to talk a little bit about relationships. I have a little funny story for you. So I remember telling you earlier in the broadcast that I spent a lot of time with the twins this weekend. Well, Catherine and Javier, their parents had a dress-up party to go to. They had a little Halloween party, and they looked really cool. Javier was Dr. Frankenstein, and Catherine had this beautiful gown, and she was the bride of Frankenstein. She did her hair so awesome, and her makeup looked amazing. And so it was about 10 minutes before they were supposed to go, and we let the dog in. And let me just back up for a quick second. I had told them earlier that week, you know, that I had never really spent a lot of time with Javier's older daughters. They're 16 and 17, or 17 and 18, 17 and 18. And I remember saying, you know, I hadn't really spent a lot of time with them, you know, and they were like, well, they're not going to be here over the weekend. So, you know, don't worry. Sometimes I feel like I might be overstepping the girls if they're there because the twins are their brothers, you know, but then they're there and I'm put in charge. And so I feel uncomfortable. I want them to be able to, you know, be in charge of their little brothers as well. You know, they're perfectly capable. And so they weren't supposed to be there for this party, but their plans changed and they ended up being at the house. And to be honest, I was a little bit nervous. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to spend all this time with the girls and that's going to be a little bit uncomfortable. What am I going to do? Well, you know, sometimes opportunities are just presented to you because about 5 minutes before Catherine and Javier were supposed to leave, the dog came in and he had been sprayed by a skunk and he smelled awful. It was the worst thing I've ever smelled in my entire life, and I wanted to cry. Because, of course, Catherine and Javier had already RSVP'd to this dinner party, and there was no way that they could miss it. So guess who got to deal with the dog? The girls and I. It was crazy. But here was my opportunity to kind of get to know the girls, because we were going to be spending the next 3 hours together cleaning up the dog. So we did a lot of research, figured out what we needed to do, went and bought supplies to try and take care of this dog. And over the next 3 hours, we spent sitting close together, scrubbing down this darn dog, giving him a haircut, bathing him, shampooing him. And when it started to get too cold, we were all shivering and we were laughing because we were all wearing Javier's old clothes because we didn't want to get our nice clothes ruined. And so we were sitting there wearing their dad's clothes, cracking up laughing because we couldn't get this darn skunk smell off. So then we decided that it would be a good idea after we had shampooed and spot treated with this special hydrogen peroxide and baking soda mixture. We put that on the dog's fur and it just wasn't working. So we decided to take him into the shower. They have a walk-in shower, and cut his hair. We thought, you know, okay, maybe if we can just get rid of the hair that's permeated with this skunk oil, because when skunks spray you, it is an oil. In fact, it's something very greasy. It looks like you literally dumped olive oil on you or on the dog or whoever it may be. And so we were trying to blot it out with paper towels, and that did a little bit of good, but not a whole lot. So the girls and I, Julia, the younger daughter, she and I packed up Goosey, the dog. We put him, his lower half of his body, in a big garbage bag. That way the oil didn't get anywhere when we had to carry him inside and we wouldn't have to let him walk on the wood floors. So we carried Goosey inside in a little trash bag like he was a little sack of potatoes. And we sat there in their walk-in shower together for the next hour and a half, just holding the dog, scrubbing him, shampooing him with some doggy hydrating shampoo, because it really dehydrates your skin when you are putting all of those chemicals like the peroxide and the baking soda, trying to get that stink out. And so we sat there together, wearing their dad's clothes, in their walk-in shower, just talking, getting to know one another, and trying to help Goosey out. And it was really terrible circumstances, but it was really nice to kind of get to know these girls. You know, I spend so much time with their parents. I know the twins obviously so well, and I think they're the people that I've probably spent the most time with in my college journey. And so, but I had never really spent any time with them. When I see them, they come in, they say hi, I say hi, and they go off and do their own thing. And so I found it really interesting that I had just been telling Catherine and Javier that, you know, I don't really spend any time with the girls. I don't really see them. And so I'm a little bit nervous about them being there. And, you know, that was just a sign that I needed to get to know these girls. And so Goosey went and got himself stung. I keep saying that he gets stung by a skunk, which I guess that would work because the poor little guy got sprayed right in the face. And so he was foaming at the mouth. He was howling and barking. And it was one of the most awful experiences ever. The poor thing was so sick. And so that's why we just sat in the shower there. We let him just keep his head under the little shower head and peek out for air when he needed to. And he just sat there and let his body just kind of cleanse and rinse. He knew what he was doing. He had that, you know, innate sense of how to, you know, self-soothe. And so I thought that was really interesting to kind of see the dog do that and really kind of figure out how to make his life a little bit better. But Anna and Julia and I got to kind of bond over Goosey's sad little mistake of trying to play with a skunk. And so that's my little relationship tidbit for the day. I encourage everyone to go out and get to know someone that they don't know. And you may end up having a lot in common and having a lot of fun. Again, it was really horrible circumstances, but the girls and I laughed a lot. Then we ended up having dinner afterwards. And the next day at the twins' party, we even hung out and chatted. And so that was really nice to kind of be able to build that relationship with the girls that I might not have otherwise had if Goosey hadn't decided to play with a skunk. So it was really great, and I was really happy about it. So I feel like I've gotten a little bit closer to them, And it was just a really good situation. And a little update on Goose. He still has a really ugly haircut. We had to cut a lot of his hair off. And the sad part is it was right on his face. And so we were really careful to avoid his whiskers. But he has a nice little botched haircut. But he no longer smells like skunk. The house kind of smells like skunk every now and then. You'll get a little bit of a whiff, but not anything major. So he's doing a lot better. He now smells like oatmeal cookie because, it's the oatmeal soothing bath soap for doggies. So he smells like an oatmeal cookie and a little bit of skunk spray still. But everyone is doing a lot better, and thankfully I didn't get any skunk scent on me, or I think I probably would have lost my mind. So I want to continue on to a little bit of inspiration and organization before we wrap up our show here. And my room has been such a mess lately, and I haven't even wanted to have anyone over because it's so messy. All my clothes are laying around, and when I do laundry, which is never really, I only do laundry when it's an absolute necessity, when I've run out of all of my clean clothes. I can't be good at everything. No, just kidding. But I don't do laundry a whole lot. It takes up a lot of time that I don't have. But I realized that I just put all my clothes, on my rug. I have a really nice shaggy rug. And so I tend to do my laundry and then put it out on the rug. And so I did my laundry this past weekend, and I realized that I have so much more that I could ever want and need and wear. I really don't need 5 pink and black scarves, but I have them. And I have so many pairs of black flats, and some of them are so old. I even have pajama pants from high school, like my freshman year, that are tattered and worn. And everyone has sentimental items. I have some of my dad's t-shirts, and I have an old sweater of my mom's, and some jewelry from my family. And I understand that, but these are not sentimental items. These are just piled up junk that I think one day that I'm going to wear that I'm really never not ever going to do. So I decided to take everything out and put it in a pile. I wanted to do a little bit of experiment. So I left it there for a few days. And I pulled things that I knew off the top of my head that were my really favorite things to wear. I have my black tights, and I have my pink sweater with the sparkly heart on it, which that's what I'm actually wearing right now. And my gray dress and my boots. And so a couple things that I know I'm going to wear these things for sure. They are some of my daily wear items. And then I waited a week and thought, okay, I will have pulled most of what I needed by this time. And it worked. And so I realized I had this pile of stuff left. And it's stuff that I never really wore. Some of the stuff I didn't even know that I had. And it started with me being lazy, but it proved to help me be aware of how much extra stuff I have and reduce the amount of clothes that I have within my house. So we're reading articles in our class, and we're talking in one of my classes, and we're talking about possessions. What do we need? Why do we buy it? And what are we doing with it? And we read this really interesting article about how possessions are an extension of yourself. And we live in a material economy. And because our consumption of products, our world has lost 80% of its forests. And we lose 7 football field size pieces of land of nature every minute. And you know me, I'm not the biggest nature lover, but I love living on this planet. And at a certain point, we have to realize that we cannot continue to live the way we are without the natural ecosystem consequences. And one of those is water. 40% of our drinkable water is no longer available because of overconsumption and overproduction of other goods. And I thought that was crazy. We're buying all this junk and getting rid of all of our water. So we're not even going to be able to survive. And that sounds a little bit harsh, and it may not be immediate, but it's going to be eventual. And so we're buying all this stuff. What are we going to do with it if we're not here to enjoy it? And so I did a little soul searching, and I decided to, reduce the amount of junk that I had. I went through my room, and I did a lot of recycling because I didn't want to throw it away. And pack our landfills up. You know, one of my teachers told me that, you know, we have landfills everywhere, and our landfill isn't supposed to be filled for another 50 years, but at the rate we're going, it's going to be filled in 15 years, from 50 to 15. And that's just amazing. So I recycled a bunch of old magazines. I'm a magazine hoarder. I have a couple subscriptions. I love to read them. I read them actually from back to front. I flip through, look at the pictures, and then if I find an article, you know, I'll start at the beginning of the article. I'm super weird like that. But I had a bunch of old books, especially textbooks and papers that I knew I was never going to need. And so I decided to recycle all of those and then donate bags of clothes and shoes and accessories and throw out all my old makeup. You know I purchased these things at once, but I'm really trying to get into the habit of not relying on materialistic things to not be, you know, just such a glutton. And I found this really great quote in our paper, and it says, "Humans assemble collection of non-necessities for distinction and self-definition." And that's really true. You know, money burns a hole in our pocket, and we buy stuff to prove to ourselves that we can. It's a symbol of personal success, even if we are giving it as a gift. And so I felt really great after the great closet purge of 2014. And I felt that it was cleansing to not only make my room more organized, but it made the environment a better place. And I'm going to do a follow-up on closet and room organization here. And so I'll just give you a little sneak peek, but I'll talk to you a little bit more about what this was like for me and how I'm staying organized using bins and displays to help me not only to encourage me not to buy more, but to be aware of what I have. And so I thought this was really great, and I encourage everybody to do a little closet purge before the holidays. You know, maybe oppress that urge to go buy a new sweater at H&M whenever you feel like you want to, because that's something I have a bad habit of doing. But do a little bit of a purge in your own room before the holiday and Christmas presents and Black Friday sales, and just be more aware of what you have. Be aware of the environment, donate to those less fortunate, and save some extra space in that closet for those winter coats. So that wraps up real life here. We covered a lot of topics today. So I hope everyone has an amazing week. I'm going to go study for a test that I have later today. Thank you for tuning in with me, and keep here listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. See you next week.
We all need something to cling to.